MD.
Linda, my dear.
MD, my boy.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm good. I'm watching a dog pee.
On a fire hydrant, classic New York style?
Nah, just in the backyard. Not classic New York style. We're the lucky one.
Do you have normal ass fire hydrants up there? You got some kind of fancy New York fire hydrants?
They're regular ass. They are not red. They are usually dark. They look broken, but then you park in front of them and they're like, that's a ticket.
Well, I feel like a fire hydrant of that size and scale would not work next to, like, you know, some giant skyscraper or something.
Yeah.
I guess those buildings all have built-in fire systems, huh?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to go on a walk.
As you do. Did I lose you? Linda, you can't disconnect like this. Where are you?
Aw, man.
There you are.
I'm leaving the house, and we'll get better in a second.
The threshold always gets us.
I know, it always does. I shouldn't say I'm ready until I'm out of the house.
And, well, it's nice to have this Randy. Little transition, you know? Everybody listening to this show that I'm not going to edit, this is a nice quiet space for you to do some thinking about your life and what you've done.
Take a deep breath. Go for a walk. Wait for me to get my shit together.
Did you turn on this podcast because you were afraid to be alone with your thoughts? Well, guess what? Be alone with your thoughts because this show is sloppy and not edited.
Psych your mind. Andy, I made a last-minute decision this week to go to Atlanta.
Oh, in 2 days. This is news.
It is. I'm so excited.
Are you going to see family?
I am. And, yeah, I just got a real big case of the cries this week. I can't even really call it, like, depression, per se. It was just, like, straight up crying. And I think there's, like, just some health stuff going on with my mom. And I normally, like, check in with my family every, like, 3 or 4 months. I go down to Atlanta and I hang out, and it just, like, re-centers me in a way that nothing else can. I don't know if you have this with your siblings at all, but, like, just having a person who shares all of my context is super great. I go and I see her, and instantly I'm like, oh yeah, like, whatever I was stressed about or anxious about or whatever, it's not like it all goes away, but I just suddenly feel like I'm back inside my true Linda form.
That sounds very nice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you had a big crying week. Not that, you know, crying is inherently bad, but, you know, it sounds hard.
Yeah, it's okay. It's also somewhat PMS related, probably, but hormones, man.
Yeah, it's part of you too, you know?
Every month, it's a new adventure.
It's all part of Linda.
So, yeah, like, the second I decided I'm going to go to Atlanta, I already started to feel a lot better. I think that's all I need.
Now, what are your, I presume, are you going to be seeing family in a not socially distanced way, I presume?
No. And, like, so my sister was just like, just a heads up, you're coming to Georgia. And it is not what you're used to in New York. So I have some anxiety about it, but I was also like, well, tell all your friends or whoever that, well, not all your friends, we're not going to see a lot of people, but I was just like, get ready for, like, crazy liberal Aunt Linda from New York to be on the scene. Because she's like, you know, we might want to, like, go to dinner one night, and restaurants are at, like, half capacity there. And she's like, people are just not wearing masks in most places. And so I'm like, I'm just going to take it step by step and try not to completely get overwhelmed.
Right. But are you not staying with your sister, man? You're staying somewhere on your own and you're only going to see her outside? And...
Oh, no, no, no. I'm staying with my sister.
Right. That's what I meant. You're going to see family in a non-socially distanced way.
Right, right, right. Just going all in and hoping to God that her kid didn't pick up some COVID.
Yeah. So if I can ask, if you're willing to share, like, are you and your sister going to get tested before this happens? I'm asking because I'm going to Oklahoma next week to stay in a house with my my very close friend. And I have mixed feelings about it. We are not flying because flying seems irresponsible. So, you know, we're going to drive down and we're going to camp along the way to avoid any and all contact with all human beings outside of cities in America right now, where it seems like nobody cares about anything. But yeah, I still feel kind of conflicted about it. And so I'm wondering what's your process going to be? What's the deal?
Well, there is going to be no process with this situation. Cause I mean, Georgia's just being like really irresponsible at a state level about it. So like kids are back in school, which means that my niece is in a school. And you know, the school does what it has to do. So it has like kids being, their temperature is checked every day and you're sent home like the second you cough and whatever. But you know, we also know that kids can just be asymptomatic and there can be really no way of detecting it until they get the whole house sick or whatever. So anyway, so we do not have a protocol that we are following. I'm just gonna be extra careful and I'm going to get tested when I come back.
When you return, but not when you go.
Yeah.
So you feel like Georgia is the danger zone. You don't feel like you are bringing the danger to Georgia.
Exactly. Because I feel pretty safe, like the way that I've been living my life here. I mean, I haven't been indoors with another friend for like 6 months.
Yeah. I haven't been in another building other than the grocery store or my house since this whole thing started.
Yeah. Yeah, same. So, I mean, I went to CVS today. I bought some toothpaste and some tampons. And I didn't come within like 20 feet of another person because I used the little kiosk to check out. And pretty chill, you know. So I feel like that's like my biggest risk this week that I've taken so far. So I feel like as far as risks go, I'm at a pretty low risk place as far as like bringing something down there. But yeah, once I'm there, that's like coming back, I'm going to be really careful about like quarantining for a few weeks once I get back. I'll get tested when I get back too. So yeah.
When are you going? I guess don't give me the specific dates. That's OPSEC. But you're going soon, I assume?
Yeah, in a couple days.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's very exciting. I'm glad you got to find your centering space in Atlanta.
Yeah. And I mean, so what are you going to do? I guess like if I had to say like, this is how to lead by example and this is how to be a good person, like everyone should get tested before they get on an airplane and when they land and when they leave again and everyone should quarantine all the time. But as you know, there are subtleties.
I mean, it's funny because we're living in this fucking country where, like, oh, God, it's so depressing because, like, really, the thing to do to lead by example is I should not go to Oklahoma and you should not go to Atlanta because, you know, it's just some amount of inevitability, especially if you're flying. Like, you're just going to come into contact with a lot of people and, like, you know, you could be asymptomatically carrying. I could be asymptomatically carrying. Like, we have no idea. That's the whole point of all this sort of lockdown situation. But it has become so incredibly abundantly clear that everyone staying inside or, you know, staying quarantined or whatever is to no end in America. Like there was no plan. It wasn't like everyone do this for a little while and then, you know, we'll all get on the same page and actually, you know, beat this thing or whatever. The whole system is completely failing us. And so it's like you can continue to follow the letter of the law or whatever, stay inside, not go anywhere, and, you know, essentially suffer the consequences socially, emotionally because of it. But we're living in a completely failed system. And so, like, honestly, part of me feels like, you know what? Like, I mean, we are going to get tested before we go, I think. That's our plan, assuming that we can, and I believe we should be able to. It shouldn't be difficult. And then we'll get tested when we return. But it's like, I wouldn't even be doing that, except that it seems like everyone, like most people don't give a shit and are not willing to actually do what it takes to take care of this thing. And so I'm a little tired of like being one of the only people that's like still stuck in my fucking house.
Right. I know. Yeah, like I had a couple of friends who were the very, very, very intense staying at home folks. Like we have one friend who has a couple of kids and lives nearby and didn't leave the house for 5 months. Like literally, just didn't leave once. And
Yeah, and if
even
we'd
they.
all done that for 3 fucking weeks, that's all
I
we would have
know.
needed. But, you know, we didn't do that. And we're never going to do that because this is America.
Yeah, and it seems like, yeah. So it's a huge bummer. I'm with you. And like even that person was just like, I just can't fucking take it anymore. I gotta leave for my sanity. And that's where I'm at. Like I just want to see my family. And especially with like the health stuff that's going on. It just, yeah, I needs it. I thought about driving and ultimately, I felt like Delta's booking every other seat and their like cleanliness policies seem like they're one of the least bad.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got to make that call for themselves because we don't have a greater apparatus of public health in this country to make that decision for people. So
Right.
you got to do whatever you think is right.
Exactly. Andy, did you ever put boots on Sadie?
Yeah, we'll put little snow
Yeah,
boots on her
little
for when
snow
there's a
boots.
lot of salt on the road and she walks around like an idiot. It's very funny.
There's a cute doggy that just walked by me with these little rubber booties on. I wonder why. It's 72 degrees out.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe they have a paw condition, or maybe they can't stop biting their little toenails or something.
Yeah.
Little paw nails, toenails, they're called toes.
Yeah. Maybe they're just like embarrassed. They haven't had a pedicure in a while.
Yeah,
They're
well, they
like,
can't
oh
go,
my
obviously.
God.
You know, they're trying to adhere to strict quarantine
Right.
rules, so they're not going to the pedicure place.
So that's what's new with me this week. That.
So, a rough week, but looking up because of a resolution to go visit family.
Yay! Yeah.
Yeah,
Yes.
y'all. Yeah, the thing I've been thinking about this as well because you know we're going to Oklahoma, and that's a thing. But I've been thinking a lot about the impending like the elephant in the room I feel like, which is the holidays. Have you been thinking about the holidays, Linda?
Yeah,
I feel like
totally.
there are a lot of people that are not going to be willing to not get together with their family on the holidays.
I know.
And
And
that seems to me like a big problem.
I
And
know.
it's alarming.
I'm trying to figure out, yeah, do I not go anywhere for the holidays? That's kind of what I'm leaning towards because it's like, it's the traveling that sucks. So maybe I'll just travel at weird times, like in the middle of September, and I'll probably have to go down again next month after this surgery, but not for the Thanksgiving Christmas roundup.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's also like, you know, if I'm willing to go to Oklahoma, then you know, why am I not willing to do holidays with my family or whatever? And part of it is that, like, well, I'm going to visit my like other young, healthy friends who I definitely don't want to give COVID and who obviously could get sick if they got it, but statistically would be unlikely to die if they got COVID. But you know, my mother or aunts or whoever, or grandparents, you know, worse so, or like, yeah, that's they definitely 100% can't get COVID. They're all in the high risk group or whatever. And just the idea that like this year, some people will come home for Christmas and they will kill their mothers or fathers. Like that will happen. It's
Yeah.
going to happen to some people. Uh,
I know.
and it's like, how do you live with that? I don't know.
How are you doing today, Andy?
I'm fine. Fine. Doing good. We're getting ready to go to Oklahoma. I may already tell you when this. I gotta be honest, Linda. I'm starting to like the line is getting blurry for me between what I have said to you and what I have said to my therapist, which is it's weird. I mean, because you're like the only people I talk to about like you know check in what's going on. I check in with you. I check in with the therapist. Right. Everybody else is just whatever. But we're getting ready for this trip and. My good friend is going to come here and house and dog sit for us, which is nice. So Sadie will not be
Oh, that's so
alone for
nice.
2 weeks, and our house will not be abandoned for 2 weeks, so it won't flood or light on fire or whatever.
Wait, are
But
you going to drive to Oklahoma or are you going to fly?
we're driving to Oklahoma to avoid to be as safe as we possibly can be. And also because we have to travel with like all of our stuff for work for 2 weeks. We're just going to work from there for a couple weeks.
Oh, okay, so cool.
Nice. Gotta like bring all of our shit with us. Anyway, I've been going around. What I've been mostly like focusing on is just going around and cleaning the house and getting ready to like leave and like leave it in the hands of somebody else. And just being very keenly aware of both how much like, you know, mild squalor we've been tolerating under lockdown because we have not had the patience to, you know, keep things tidy or because no one's coming into our house anyway or whatever. But yeah. Also, in a bigger sense, all the little things about our house that, you know, just little inconveniences and like broken things that we have like tolerated over the years that now all of a sudden it's very embarrassing to be like, oh yeah, by the way, the whole microwave falls apart if you like touch it in the wrong place. So if that happens, just like, you know, click the things back in place. And yeah, and the doorknob on the back door only turns one direction. Don't know why. Haven't had time to take that apart and figure out why that is. So just be aware of that. And oh yeah, the bottom stair is missing going down to the basement. So, you know, don't trip and fall on the missing bottom stair in the basement. And pay no heed to that hole that's still in the ceiling from the air conditioner. Like just going through making notes for my friend and like being like, wow, this house is fucked up.
But I love that when you go to somebody's house and like there are all these quirks that you just have to learn. I remember I was not that long ago, like went and stayed with someone who was just like, oh yeah, by the way, like the bathroom door doesn't close, or you know, it was something like that where you're like, oh, that's weird.
That one seems important actually, now that I say it out loud.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, you know what, we should definitely fix that. We should fix that.
Yeah. Sadie, be quiet.
Sadie.
No one cares. So yeah, just been making that big document. I made a big Google Doc about all the things about our house. How to take care of Sadie. How to do all the stuff.
And oh.
Also noted all the things that are wrong with the house. So he's aware.
And then nobody, like, yeah, that person probably won't read it or they'll skim it. And then they'll still just text you and be like, and you'll be like, hey, in section 3A, you will see clearly the microwave directions and what to do when it falls apart.
Well, yeah, I mean, partially it's like I wanted to write all this up so that if he had any questions, he wouldn't feel like he was bothering me and, you know, be too shy to text or ask. He's kind of like, he's a little bit shy. He might be too shy to ask or tell me something.
Aww.
So I just making a list of all the things so that, you know, he will be the kind of person, he will definitely check the big document first before he texts or calls.
Okay, cool.
I just want to make sure he's not like, you know, sitting here and just breaks the microwave on day one and then never microwaves anything else the rest of the time because he just thought he broke it, you know?
Exactly.
But yeah, also it's like I feel anxious is maybe the wrong word. I feel slightly apprehensive. Like I'm thinking a lot about the fact that we are leaving because it's the only time we've left really in 6 months.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing in our lives. And so it's just like I keep walking around the house and like making more notes of things we have to do and stuff we have to clean and all that kind of stuff. That's my
life
right now.
You're an anxious boy. It's fun to write the user manual for things though. You have a user manual for your house now. How cool is that?
And that's a kind of writing that I'm very good at. I'm very good at, like, technical writing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish I was better at creative writing, but I don't practice that at all. But I do practice technical writing all the time, against my will.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty good at that now.
You're good at it. Man, I'm sitting in the park, and it's got a big, like, circular grassy patch in the middle, and then benches and a path on the outside of that. And there's this kid just ripping hard on his bike around the grassy part, and I
like
keep
a child,
like
he, or
like
a
child
teen.
Yeah, no, he's like six.
Okay.
And
sounds
so he's
adorable.
You know, yeah, but he's just barely got, you know, when a kid is at that level where they're like, okay, this is definitely a new skill that they've developed, like they're so confident that I can tell that he hasn't had his first like crash yet.
Sure. Just discovered he can do this a bunch and
right.
Is doing it nonstop and will continue doing it nonstop until, you know, knocks his front teeth out or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like there's all these like loose bricks that he keeps like almost falling over, but oof, Andy, I'm gonna be a nervous parent.
That's how it is with the toddlers in our neighborhood, but just when they're walking, like you know, when a toddler learns to like walk or like, you know, do something it resembles running for the first time, like they basically lean their entire body forward, and then every step is just barely catching themselves before they fall, flat on their face. That's the only way they know how to move. And it's
and
like
their legs.
You watch them and you're chefs. Like, oh God, you're so close to not catching yourself.
Yeah. Oh, I'm watching a little girl do it right now. She's fell over. But yeah, they have these like little chubby noodles. They're just like little macaroni and cheese nubs for legs that are just flopping one in front of the next. It's like blah, blah, blah.
You ever have those really thick, like Tootsie Roll size and shaped rice noodles?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. Yeah. That's what I imagine a toddler's legs must feel like, having those big, yeah, chunky rice noodles for legs.
Yeah.
I can hear these them. I can hear them back there. Yeah. Long life.
Yeah, these kids, if they've had some time with their legs, so their legs are more like fettuccine.
Are they showing off? Yeah.
They're al dente. They're not like totally wobbly.
You heard it here first, folks. When Linda gets taken in for being a weird child sex predator, you heard her compare a child's legs to al dente fettuccine on the podcast. Just throw some child's legs at the wall, and if they stick, then you know it's done.
Oh yeah, that's how the pasta trick works, huh?
the one and only pasta trick. Throw it at the wall and see if it sticks to it.
Oh man,
doesn't work with ravioli.
I can either make fettuccine tonight. I actually have fettuccine that's like ready to go, or I can make tacos. Sadie barked when I said tacos. Maybe it's taco night.
Maybe she decided for you.
Sadie, yeah, tacos,
come here.
Please.
Come here, make a decision about tacos or fettuccine. Come here. Come here, baby. Sit. Oh, well, she's having none of it. She used to be a well-behaved dog, and then we were stuck inside with her all day, every day, and now she's not well-behaved anymore. I don't know why.
I know. Oh, you know what? I just started... I guess it's not going to start until next week, but I just set Lenny up with a dog walker. Because we used to take him to like daycare, and that was cool. But this trainer said that it would actually be really great for Lenny to go on walks with other dogs so that he can observe their good boy leash behavior.
Ooh.
Yeah, so he can learn how to walk like a good boy.
Yeah, we used to have her walk with other dogs when we were working because of that reason exactly. Not because we couldn't come home and walk her, but because we're like, you know what? Some other socialization would be good for you. So maybe that's why she's so ill-behaved. Hey, we're talking about you. You shit.
make her be with other good boys and girls.
Yet another thing I'm embarrassed about leaving in my friend's care. This loud siren of a dog.
Oh, God.
Oh, but then she comes up and she's so cute, though. Oh, she loves you.
Yeah, don't even worry about it. I used to have three dogs, and I had some friends who would stay with them whenever we'd leave. And that was the most embarrassing user manual. You're like, okay, so one of them will bite you.
we put a tag on it labeled Bitey. This is Bitey.
Yeah. Yeah. And then new line, this one, they each have their own neurotic things. Like this one, don't let them get anywhere near other dogs. This one, total scaredy cat, needs to be under the covers. Sorry.
Oh yeah, I made a map of our neighborhood with all of the houses that have other dogs living in them marked, and a little emoticon for how Sadie feels about the dog living in that house.
Oh, that's good.
I did that, and then I noted that we have a crate in the bedroom, but if you try and leave her in it and lock it overnight, at some point around 2 o'clock in the morning, she'll start noisily pawing at the door and wake you up until you let her out. So you might as well just not lock it. And then she'll stay in there until she wants to get out and get in bed with you. And sorry if you don't want her to do that, because she's going to.
I have an idea. I feel like you should design, those Feltron reports that are like, this is how many spaghetti noodles I ate in the year 2020.
I sure do, Linda.
You should make the user manuals for a point in time. I think that would be amazing. To just see, a week in the life of Andy, a user manual.
All the things you have to know, all the, completely trivial, meaningless shit you have to know in order to, live my life.
Yeah, I would love that. Which drain do you almost trip over whenever you go on a walk? Map it out. I'm just visualizing this map with Sadie's, enemies on it.
Okay, I'm just going to share. I'm going to share this document with you, Linda, because I also did map out her normal walk routes. I did quite a few things here.
That's great.
Yeah, you can look at this.
The last Airbnb that we stayed at in Maine was the owner of the house was an architect, and you could tell because their user manual for the house just had all these like perfect, amazing drawings of like, not just like the layout of the house, but of like the neighborhood and all of the connecting areas and channels and ponds and like where to do what. It was so great. Such a good thing to be able to offer the people in your life.
That's my goal. Try and leave this friend of mine equipped. But I'm definitely going overboard for sure.
Yeah, whatever.
But who cares? What else am I doing?
Who cares? Literally, what else
am I doing?
But also, you also called it an encyclopedia for living, which I loved.
Yeah.
I did. There's a table of contents.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Look at your walk. It's all in here. You can see her normal walk routes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all there.
Wow. All broken stuff. Oh, this is so great.
Subheading for climate control.
Man, I'm going to break into your house and just like live your life.
Yeah, if you want to break into our house, you can. That's fine. I actually know here under climate control that the fan in the den is missing a blade. So please don't. Oh, God. I knocked that blade off, let's see, 4 years ago when I was replacing the window.
How'd you knock it off?
Oh, it's a fun story. I was replacing the window trim on the inside of the house, and I had the fan going because it was hot in the room. And I just lifted a whole big sheet of plywood right into the fan and slapped one of those blades right off.
Damn.
And the fan is not a standard fan. There's no, like, you can go online, you can buy replacement fan blades. None of them are even close to the dimensions of this fan in our room. It is like Pandora's fan. It makes no sense. It's non-Euclidean.
Weird.
Anyway, I broke that 3 years ago, 4 years ago or something, and just never fixed it because I couldn't make it easy repair. And then I shopped around for ceiling fans, Linda, for like 3 months, and I hate them all. I never found a ceiling fan I found to be acceptable. But I like ceiling fans. I like having a fan to move air around. I think that's great. But they all
but
look
they're
like
all ugly.
Dog shit. They all either look like, you know, the typical ceiling fan you're thinking of, right? Like classic ceiling fan. Or they look like these, like, ultra modern, like, bullshit things. Or some of them look like steampunk. Some of them look like shitty steampunk things, too. Those are, like, the three kinds of ceiling fans. And none of them are appropriate for the vibe in our home. But what are you going to do? The answer is you're not going to buy any ceiling fan. So you're just going to have a broken
fan
forever.
Anybody got some tips? I know. Woof.
Anyway, please come break in whenever you want. You're welcome to break in. Sadie will bark.
Man, I have a couple things. Sadie will bark.
She'll bark aggressively, and then she'll come up and start loving you immediately. She sounds really
scared.
And then she just
when I start rubbing her little ears.
Yes,
And
she'll be your best
friend forever.
And if you're listening to this and you're thinking of breaking into my house, Sadie will rip you fucking limb from limb, so you better watch out. Sadie just knows Linda's chill.
Yeah, he's got my scent.
Yeah.
Just from listening to my smooth voice all the time.
Yeah, when she goes to bed, I put headphones on her and play this podcast. Because she knows all of your secrets.
Just so she knows. Well, I mean, I think everybody could just take one look at my doggie and know that he is not an aggressive dog. He's a little Muppet.
Well, if he was aggressive too, it wouldn't deter you necessarily from robbing a house. You know, you might get a couple little nibbles, but you're not going to get murdered by your dog.
Right? Like, oh no. I have like a lot of. I think I'm quick to fix things in the house, but I've also made some damage to the house that I don't know if I'll ever fix. Like, I really should. Like the people who lived there before us. There were these sliding doors right when you walk into the house, and they put these hooks on them, like coat hooks, but they put them at like waist height. And when we moved in, like I bumped into these things like a few times just in the first week that we were here. So when I was painting, I was like, I'm just going to take these hooks off. So I unscrewed them from this sliding wooden door. And then I was like, even with the screws off, it wasn't coming off. And so I pulled it, and it turned out that it had this adhesive on it. And so I just was like, well, I've already like pulled up some of the paint, so I might as well just go all in. And so this is just kind of how I do projects like this, Andy.
It's like, the only way to do projects. There's literally no other option.
Yeah. I just ripped it off.
A self-contained home improvement project. it only ever causes more projects to be needed.
Exactly. So I ripped it off, and I also ripped off these ones that were above it that were in the drywall. So I ripped out these drywall hooks and was like, whoops. So then I had to like patch drywall. I did that. That was fine. But then, like, I ripped, like, the wood off of this door. And then I was like, I'm just going to paint over it and see if you can tell. And then I painted over it. And, of course, you can still tell. It's looks awful.
So you basically, like, you know, ripped the outer layer of wood grain. So it's got, like, a rough kind of, like, crater.
It looks like Freddy Krueger took a slash out of it with his little claws. There's, like, five giant just slashes through it. But yeah, I don't know. I just jump right in. And then, you know, Mark saw me doing that and he was like, oh boy. Like, we've been here for a week. I'm already breaking stuff. And I'm just like whatever.
Rip.
Yeah. I didn't want the hooks there. Now there are no hooks. It's done.
Problem solved.
Yeah. And then I installed my own coat rack that somebody else will rip out of the wall someday.
At a reasonable height. Maybe they had children.
They did. Yes, they had children. And that is why.
Those were children's hooks. You're not a child.
They were.
You can't use children's hooks.
I don't have a child.
That's like peeing in a tiny urinal. You can't do it.
I know.
Do women know about the tiny urinal?
I've seen one. I don't know why. I used to hang out with the janitor, actually. That's why I know.
You're very cool, Linda.
Well, my dad, like, taught and everything at the private school that I went to. He was, like, the music pastor, and he taught fifth grade. And so when I was, like, waiting for him to finish up, there was this really nice lady who was the janitor. And then they didn't have, like, childcare at the time.
She was like, come here, let me show you the tiny little fucking urinal.
No! She was so nice! She was wonderful. And, so I would just, like, follow her around. And I remember she's the first person who asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up. And I was really young. I must have been, like, 5. And I told her about how when I was at the store the other day, I had a lot of fun organizing a bunch of shit on a table that I saw. I was like, can I, like, organize stuff?
Yeah, it's called being a janitor, I think.
And she was like, if you put your mind to it, you can do it.
How do you remember this conversation you had when you were 5?
I think that that's just how memories work. Like, you recall them, and then you recall them again, and then you recall them again.
The only thing I remember when I was 5 is this one time that I broke my favorite marker in anger.
Oh. You had deep regret?
Yeah. It was very sad. I was doing a nice drawing with my favorite turquoise marker from my brand new marker set. And then some kid came up behind me and, like, you know, bumped into me or shoved me while I was drawing and made me make a big line on my drawing. And I had a flash of anger. I smashed my marker on the drawing and the whole tip got crunched and it wouldn't work anymore. It was all mashed up. And then I was heartbroken that my wrath had caused the destruction of the thing that I loved.
Did you learn anything that day or did you just, like, go break another thing the next day?
Yeah, I turned around and I fucking socked the kid.
Yeah.
I love my marker more than you. Anyway. Well, Linda, have a good time in Atlanta.
I will.
And the next time I talk to you, I expect, well, maybe not next time. Depends on when we talk next. I will be in Oklahoma soon, and we will talk from there as well.
Yeah. We'll talk from Oklahoma. Wait, is this going to be the first time that we talk and you're not at your desk?
Yes.
Or at your dresser?
Because, I mean, I've definitely gone... Well, I guess we did the XOXO episode together, which was obviously different. But yeah,
that was a highlight.
I've been standing on my dresser for a long time. I've had a normal desk for much longer than that. I did used to stand on my dresser, though. Yeah, because I've traveled before, and usually we just never record when I'm traveling because I am not by my computer. But I'm taking my whole computer with me and my whole microphone and everything, Linda, so it'll be great.
So there.
So that's take exciting. That. Checkmate, liberals.
All right. Have fun.
You too. Have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye.